They may not know everything about sports, but the view from their couch is pretty good. So kick back and enjoy a brew, because you know they already are. Here is Eric Dorsch.
You're potentially the face of a franchise. I don't want that face to be that of an asshole.
Russ Ivanek.
Taking out of my logical mind for a minute. He's just fun to watch.
And Justin Marcus.
Just park the khaki elephant in the room. No.
This is Armchair Sports Talk.
Well, we want to get some D at some point in time. We just felt we couldn't pass these forwards up. So, obviously, a couple pick today, and then tomorrow we're back on the board. So, we're getting excited.
If everything you're doing is bad, I want you to know this.
It's not that bad. I mean, it's a little bad, at least from my opinion. It's not that bad, though. It's manageable. But my opinion doesn't always mean the most. I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. We're going to get the opinion of the other guys, the real hockey guys, and that's Justin Marcus.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, man. Excited to do this. Draft's out of the way, and you didn't seem as upset as I thought you were going to be. So.
No, I was really hoping to be pissed, but there's some highlights in the draft this year.
Yeah, I think we're going to be okay. And Russ, you're with us too, Russ Ivanek.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Getting by. I'm taking all of the D out of my alphabet soup, you know, because that's apparently the draft strategy, but it still tastes good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's everybody's strategy but ours. We liked the other letters like C and F and G. So it's a little depressing, but oh well. Lead it off. Red Wings lead off with Filip Zadina, a guy who dropped in the draft. Everyone seems pretty high on this guy. I mean, I've watched the tape since and seen the videos, Russ, you've mentioned to me. He looks like a really talented guy, so I think this is kind of one where you got to give Holland a pass and say, okay, you didn't screw that one up, at least.
Oh, I'd give him actually more than a pass, because at least he didn't do what, like, Arizona did and just decided, this guy plays center, I'll take him. I mean, Filip Zadina was the third highest-ranked North American skater. Everyone had him inside of the top five comfortably. That was a steal, and we could have the next top scorer on the Wings, and that's something we desperately needed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those ones where since the draft, I've heard people saying that, like, did taking him and taking that talent that was available, does that give Ken Holland a little bit of cushion to work with in, like, not being on the hot seat anymore? And my first opinion on that is no, it doesn't. He made the right choice there. I'll give you that. But you had other picks to make. In my opinion, you didn't exactly go about that the right way. And one good pick doesn't alter the last, you know, few years of mistakes. So, to me, the cushion's not really there. It buys you a little bit more time, but not too much time. And, obviously, if the rest of these picks don't pan out at all, it's going to be a little bit tougher. But, Justin, what did you think?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I want to thank Ottawa and Arizona for failing to do their jobs that day. I don't know what Brady Tkachuk is going to be, but if I'm Arizona, I'm getting a goal scorer before I'm getting a tough dude who's very gritty. So I love it. I think it's also a perfect replacement for Zetterberg because he's on his way out. And they just so happen to be the same exact height. So they can just take the C off of Zeddy's sweater and throw it right on Zadina's. And it's effectively our next captain.
Really, just put the C right on there. No need to step on the ice. Just go ahead and take this letter.
There is a lot of lather going on over there.
Holy cow. What room of your house are you in right now? Because we want to make sure you're not about to do something unsavory.
No, I mean, it's just I like it. I love the hype. I love the positivity around it, which is weird coming from me. But it's the fact that Holland kind of fell into another player. Like, he fell into Zetterberg, and like, he fell into Datsyuk. So why not? Just keep the trend going. He gets to keep his job because he keeps falling into talent. And if it means we start winning more games sooner, then I'll deal with that, I guess.
That's fair. I guess that's fair. Okay, so my next question will be the next, followed along this draft with our next pick of Joe Valeno. I've heard comments over the last, like, week or so. A lot of people are happy that we kind of took these two, and there's a lot of potential for talent. But a lot of times I'm hearing some names they're compared to that are names that are a little too sacred in Detroit to be, you know, associated with when you haven't even played a single game in the NHL. I heard someone say that we drafted our next Fedorov and Yzerman. And those are kind of two names that you need to be in a little more rarefied air. Russ, do you see the connection and the potential there, or is it a little too soon to be saying that?
It's obviously too soon. I mean, we like to romanticize the draft that, hey, you're going to get your next great player here. I mean, when the truth is, only about 75% of your first-round forwards even play 50 games in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So first off, yeah, it's way too early to tell any of these guys. If they were the next Yzerman and Fedorov, they would have gone 1-2 if we knew that. But when you use those kind of comparisons to show a playing style, that's where I can get behind, because it puts it into terms. Like, if I say Joel Veleno to you, you go, all right, he might be an Italian guy. All right, but if I say the next Sergei Fedorov, you go, oh, so he's a two-way forward with a lot of speed. Right? It kind of puts a little context in it. Yes, we overdo it way too often with this. I feel pretty comfortable saying none of them are going to be Sergei Fedorov in this entire draft, just because of the way he played the game. But a guy like Zadina, I think, has a chance to be a 30-plus goal scorer. That's kind of the floor that I'm putting at. When he gets to his peak, is a 30-goal scorer on the wing.
Okay.
So, Veleno, I don't think Veleno's going to get anywhere close to that. I do really like the pick. I think he can be a really solid second-line center. I mean, he's kind of a jack-of-all-trades, do-it-all guy, but he doesn't have the couple standout skills, you know, that really would elevate that higher.
Okay. And for me, what bugs me more is I don't mind the comparison of talent, because if they compare to that talent, then we did make two very good picks. It's just you're kind of choosing guys who are, for a lack of a better word, legends in Detroit. I mean, in my opinion, aside from Gordie Howe, and because of my favoritism of him, Nick Lindstrom, Steve Yzerman is one of the greatest Red Wings to ever play. He's the captain. He's like the best captain in sports. And you're telling me that one of these guys is going to be that. It's putting a lot of expectation on a 19-year-old kid to live up to something that a lot of people in Detroit, you know, idolize and like deify. And I just think that's a lot to put on someone. Now, if you told me we would have drafted like our next, like he could be comparable to Zetti in the beginning, okay, that's good. We can work with that. But putting him as one of the greatest players to ever play the game of hockey, and he hasn't even touched an NHL rink, it's a lot. That's asking a lot of someone.
Speaking of asking a lot, though, and having a lot of pressure and high expectations, though, Veleno is probably comfortable with that. He was the first player to ever get exceptional status to play in the Q.
Mm-hmm.
As a 15-year-old, he went and did that. First player that's ever done that. So you want to talk about somebody that everyone's looking at you, expecting you to be special. Yeah, that's old hat for Joe.
Okay, that's fair. Justin, are you comfortable with the names they're using and the expectations they're putting, or do you think it's kind of a little much, we need to, you know, dial it back just a tiny bit?
I'm not okay with it, and literally everything Russ just said I had lined up to say, like the point about the queue and his production over there and his status.
Mm-hmm.
So I had tipped to Russ, that's what I was going to say.
I said I'm stealing your notes when you're not looking. That's how I do it.
I know. Stop tapping into my shit, man. You're in my phone. I love Veleno because he's 6 foot tall. And he's instantly taller than a good portion of our roster. I think he's better than any second, third, or fourth line guy on our team, and he will be, based upon what he did in the Quebec Major Junior League. I don't like when they start tagging people to legends. Like Eric, you're spot on. If he was Fedorov, he would have gone to maybe not Arizona, because they're dumb. Probably, no, not Ottawa, because they're stupid, too. I hope he's the next Fedorov, or I hope he's the next Yzerman. But, you know, they would have been taken much quicker than they did. So I've got no problem with the pick at all. What we would have ended up with was Hughes on the front end. So the fact that we win offense, and we avoided the defense, that's the only issue. But, again, taking a 5'10" defenseman in the first round, I would have been absolutely fucking livid if that's what we did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get me wrong. Like, I'm happy with the pick. Like, I've seen the footage on him. I've read about him. They're both very talented people. And, you know, The other clip I have, which we'll play in a little bit, Holland even says you need scoring in this league, and so that's great to have. It really is. But we agreed with it. He even says in the opening cut that we need to get some D at some point. I just think that, you know what? Zadina was sitting there. Get him. I like it. Good. He fell to us, and I'm okay with that. But after that, you need to turn back to going, okay, our game plan was we need defense. You know, we'll add a couple, you know, another forward here or there. We're going to get a goaltender, which they got more goalies than I think they really needed. But they should have stuck to defense, and they didn't do that. They didn't touch a defenseman until the 36th pick in the draft. And I'm not exactly, you know, happy about that.
Well, I will say this. I wanted Quinn Hughes first, you know, at the sixth pick. But like you said, Zadina falls, you got to take him.
Absolutely.
With how often these picks don't work out at all, if you see a talent, you got to take talent, right? Because a good player in a position you didn't need is a whole lot better than a player that doesn't work out in a position you desperately needed. Same kind of deal with Foligno that I thought that was – I mean, Central Scouting – put him out as the eighth best North American skater, and we got him at 30. So I'm okay with that, but yeah, when we got to 33 and 36, and we took Jared McIsaac, and we passed on Bodie Wild with both of those picks, Jonathan Berggren, I mean, he's supposed to be a Håkan Andersson special, one of those Swedish gems that he found.
Yep.
We'll see.
Well, that's what I'm reading on. Nice package of speed and skill and playmaking ability. Con Anderson sees him as having Victor, I'm never going to pronounce that last name right.
Arvidsson.
That a boy. Potential. But on the flip, 5'10", 180 pounds,
you know,
18 goals, 39 assists in 38 games in Swedish Junior League. Those are appealing numbers, and we know that, you know, the Swedes are quite a good hockey place to get hockey or hockey talent from. But 5'10", 180. Correct me if I'm wrong. And this is no offense to you. That's right around your frame, right, Ross? Maybe a little less weight.
Yeah,
but
that's a little more weight, more probably weight, all but, muscle. But, yeah, that's
but you know what I'm
almost
saying.
Exactly me.
5'10", 180, yeah, the weight. That the weight's wow. Like my left butt cheek, but well, that's okay. It's just more of like, I'm just saying, 5'10", not that you're a small person. In fact, you're actually in the, you know, the average probably for height.
Yeah, but not for an NHL.
Not for an NHL player. That's what I'm saying is we went short.
Want to know who else is 5'10"?
2 6-foot players got the height we were looking at. Then we started going short. Who else is 5'10", Jay?
So other 5'10 players that really worked out well for us, Darren Helm, Nyquist, Glendening, and Tatar. So congratulations. That's what you just got.
Hey, not for nothing, though. Steve Yzerman was 5'11".
Yeah, not for nothing. I know no one likes him, but I would like to point out that one of the best players in the league, Patrick Kane, is 5'10". And you don't like if you've got the skill and the speed, sometimes the height doesn't factor. But we're sitting here talking about we're a small hockey team. We needed size. This is someone who you took for the talent, but you took talent the 2 draft picks prior to that. It needed to, we needed to turn to defense. As soon as Foligno was selected, forwards should have dropped to the bottom, like, you know, when you do the fantasy draft, forwards should have dropped to the bottom of the queue for you, and it should have been stacking the defensemen up there. And they didn't do that.
He did start to do it in the 3rd round with Regula and Barton.
Yeah.
I mean, they're big old, I mean, they drafted the trees like you wanted. 6'3", 203, 6'2", 174. Barton has to put on a little weight at 174, but we did add some D later on. It's just, yeah, a little later than I would have like to see an emphasis put on it.
And then, you know.
Well, there's.
Go ahead, Jay.
There's two things that, there's one thing that the Wings and the Lions both have in common, and they both need to draft defense next year. That has to be focusing on, like, their main focus next year.
Yeah.
Well, high-end D, too.
Yeah. It needs to, you need, like, your top picks, I don't care. I mean, I understand, like, if a Crosby or, you know, someone of that nature drops to, which is very unlikely. Okay.
A Zadina, if you might say?
Yeah. Well, see, but that's the thing. A Zadina, as we see it now, that guy has not stepped on NHL ice. For all you know, I'm doing wrong. I'm hoping he goes out there, you know, plays day one, 30 goals, you know, 80 point season or something like that. That'd be a great start for him, and I hope it happens. But we've seen guys come in before that were like, ooh, this guy looks good. He looks good.
Oh, right.
And never panned, never worked out the way we wanted it
mm-hmm.
to. So I will use the word Azzedine right now, but I'm saying, like, if a big name that, like, everyone knows, you can't miss. He's gonna be great in the NHL. If that's around, yes. Otherwise, your whole first page of draft analysis needs to be defenseman, 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 defenseman. And then guess what? Just for a little bit of color, let's add another defenseman in there. That's my it has to be true. I agree with you, Jay. So it's just tough. But then, you know, three picks after Bergen, they take Jared McIsaac. Russ, you didn't seem too happy with that one. But on the flip side, though, 6'1", 190 pounds. He's a big boy. He's a bigger boy. I mean, Nick Lindstrom was 6'1". So he's a bigger boy. Look what we're looking for. But I don't know anything about him, but from reading this, he looks like he has defenseman numbers. 9 goals, 38 assists in 65 games from Halifax. Smart, strong skater who can carry the puck and make a good outlet pass.
Yeah, he's like a second-pairing guy at best. Kind of doesn't do anything wrong, doesn't do anything spectacular. I mean, he can be a solid guy, but he's another left-handed middle-pairing defenseman. I would have liked to shoot for someone with more upside, or can we try just a right-handed player? I mean, we have four right-handed guys on the roster right now.
Yeah.
Jensen, Witkowski, Firk, and Glendening. So bottom pairing and fourth line guys. Everyone else is left-handed. So, all four of the draft picks we've talked about so far, left-handed. Oh. All of our main prospects coming up, Rasmussen, Svechnikov, left-handed. Can we get a righty, please? Like one?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, he sounds like he's a pretty, you know, prototypical defenseman. He's not gonna, not gonna wow the stat sheet for us, but he might, be able to help in the spots that don't always appear, unless you're watching the game firsthand. After that, Alec, is it Regula?
Yep.
6'4", 203, another big boy. That should make Jay pretty happy. Seth Barton, 6'2", 171. Neither of these guys are really, lighting up the stat sheet. 7 goals, 18 assists in 67 games. 6 goals, 27 assists in 49 games. So it's, we got defensemen. I just feel like we may have waited a little too long, and we kind of did a little bit of bargaining for, what we got.
Yeah. Well, if it makes you feel any better, my favorite pick was a 6'5" goalie. So that was cool.
Yeah, the sixth round pick, right?
The very next pick. Sixth round pick.
Yeah, the Victor Brodstrom was a 6'5" goalie.
Ah, there he is. Okay, yep.
So now we've got Jared Perreault, who's 6'5", and we've got that dude who's 6'5". So the biggest guys on our team are in net.
Well, so. I say you got the very next pick after Barton was Jesper Eliasson, who's 6'3", 209, so there's a big boy. After that, it gets a little tiny. Then, your goalie. And then to cap it off, the weight's way off, but the very last pick we made in the seventh round, forward Otto Kivenmaki, is my height. So we got a 5'8", 140-pound forward. So, that sounds great.
Seventh round pick. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. I just
probably won't see the light of day either way.
No. He's probably going to, he might as well invest in a house in Grand Rapids is what I'm thinking. He's probably just going to, he'll probably live there and eventually just open up a store or something, which would be nice. But my question to you guys, I guess in following up on this, is two goalies in this draft. That seems a bit much to me. Like, I feel like we've got a little bit of we've got enough goalies to go around here. Maybe, pass on one of them and keep going in the defensive, or even, keep going with drafting another forward. I mean, you guys kind of agree with that?
Well, I guess I'll say it's kind of like drafting a backup quarterback in the NFL. I think it's just good habit to draft one every now and again, because who knows with goalies? They're such voodoo that you don't know if they're going to turn out. So you take a bunch of chances on them, and if he develops, great. If he doesn't, well, we don't have a lot right now anyways. We have, like, Petruzzelli and this one Swedish goal, Larsson, I think it is, that maybe they're ready in a couple years, and then we're going to have – they take a long time to develop. So I don't really have strong feelings one way or the other about it, but yeah, it's worth playing the lottery, I think.
Okay. Jay?
Yeah, I think it's a stab in the dark all the time, and I think it's a good practice. I hope they draft one or two every year. I don't think any premier – and, like, in Michigan, you can't just have a Jimmy Howard. Jimmy Howard is average, okay? We are used to Osgood, Hasek, Vernon, and Legacy, all right? The goalie position, you have to be elite in Michigan in order to survive. So the fact that I don't think any premier talent is ever coming our way, we don't have the cap space to even throw a wad of money at someone to come our way, we have to get lucky in the draft. And this city not only deserves, but they expect elite talent. Jimmy Howard doesn't cut it. Jonathan Bernier, who's probably coming our way, doesn't cut it. So if we can get lucky through the draft, which, you know, that seems to be Holland's track record, I mean, that's the only way we're going to get good between the pipes.
Okay, that's fair enough. I mean, like I said, I think it's our nature of overcooking that I kind of feel like, yeah, you're stacking the position to assuming one of these has to work. But at the same time, you know, I feel like there are other needs that are a little more pressing. And with all these picks, we had so many picks, I would rather they would have stacked a different position as opposed, but you can't go wrong with it. Overall, Jay, we have to find this out because there's
a
six-pack riding on it. So I'm just going to I'm gonna go through it, yay or nay, almost a salt or no salt here. I think I can pretty much guess the first two, but I'll ask anyway. Philip Zana, yes or no?
Begrudgingly, yes, only because Holland just saved his ass, but yeah.
Okay, that's a yes. Joe Valeno?
Yes.
Okay. Next, Jonathan Bergeron.
That's assault. He's 5 foot flipping 10. No, thank you.
No. Jared McIsaac.
Yes. I actually can buy into the fact that he was the defensive dude with Zadina. I think they both played for, Russ, help me out.
Halifax.
Thank you.
Yep, Halifax.
I'm okay with that. They got chemistry together, so that's a pass.
Okay. Alec Rugula.
6'4", isn't he the dude, the dentist dude?
The what?
Yeah, he's a guy that's 6'3 defenseman.
Yeah, 6'4", 203.
Yeah, well, that's...
Seven goals, 18 assists, and 67 games with London.
Holland probably gave him a verbal commitment X amount of years ago like he did to Cleary, so sure, why not? He's connected to the Red Wings somehow already.
So you're going to take it?
Sure, why not?
Well, I mean, on the upside, Russ did point out the one thing he wanted. He is a right-shot defender, so...
Yeah, we needed that.
Adding a right hand to you. Seth Barton, 6'2", 171, 6 goals, 27 assists, 49 games for the BCHL.
I mean, now you're getting so deep into stuff that it's even hard for me to, like, to say yes or no on, but you already are above the passing grade.
Not necessarily. I'd imagine... We've still got quite a few guys to get through here.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm set on the goalies. I know nothing about the last pick.
Well, that's fine. So the last pick's not in void. You're okay with the goalies. So, yeah, yeah. I mean, Seth Barton and Ryan O'Reilly, just off stats alone, 6'2", 171. You said you want a bigger guy. There's your bigger guy. Six goals, 27 assists in 49 games. So in, you know, almost half, a little over half a season of the NHL, the guy had 6 goals, 27 assists for 33 points. I mean, it's not bad, but that's a pass?
Yeah, I give them a passing grade all around. And the way that they would get a A++ is if they just stripped our roster and put all these dudes on the active team and let them play, let them learn, and let them fail together. But, you know, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, so then we get the top pick and take Jack Hughes.
Well, I hate to say it. I really didn't think this was going to happen, but we have an approval of something Ken Holland did by Justin approves of. It's a little horrifying, actually.
It happened.
But in, like, inside my soul, though, there's that part of me like, God damn it, he got lucky. I wanted him to draft the 5'10" defenseman. Holland probably stumbled across the gold mine again. And I hope, you know, 5-6 years down the road, I'm bitterly happy that Zadina, you know, is rocking the C. And I'm very premature. But, like, you know, we get, I think we got lucky. I'll put it that way, and they get the passing grade because of it.
Well, I think Zadina falling was a very lucky thing for us, and I think it kind of threw us in a different direction for a little bit, but at the same time, we did luck out. I mean, not very often can you say a top three talent falls to you, and right. your less than successful GM has the, you know, mindset to deviate to take him instead of sticking to the game plan. A lot of GMs wouldn't do that. A lot of them would say, he's falling, there has to be a reason, let's stick to what we're going to do.
Right.
And that's why you see guys fall like crazy. So I don't hate it, but at the same time, we did this show last week. We said what we thought they needed, and obviously none of us are the GM or front office position for any professional team, so all we're doing is really, you know, giving our opinion on this. But we said the thing they needed to do, and in my opinion, they didn't necessarily do it. I'm happy with the mm-hmm. talent, but there's a lot of other Hughes. I would have liked him too, but, you know, we'll see what Zadina does, and if he does something successful, I'm okay with it. I can live with it.
Right.
So moving on, I'm going to talk about the going to stay with NHL because we love hockey so much, and this is the most horrible time for sports this year. There's really not a lot going on, so we're gonna go with it. NHL free agency's going on right now. Some big names in free agency. I would say there's the number one guy. I don't know him very well. John Tavares. Is he okay? I think he's a successful hockey player, I would guess.
Yeah, he's okay, I guess.
Yeah, he's not in a big market. We don't hear a lot about him, so it's tough. But yeah, John Tavares is one of the best offensive players in the league. He's kind of in a position to, you know, choose his future, and he's got quite a few choices. From what I'm reading, he's got Los Angeles, the Islanders. He could go to the Bruins or the Leafs. I believe someone mentioned that Dallas was in contention, if not still
yep.
in contention. Justin, for you, if you're Tavares, new coach comes in, you know that coach is going to do anything to try to get you to stay. You are the centerpiece of the team. Do you kind of milk that and say, yeah, I'll stay, but you have to do this in the upcoming season or I'm leaving again? Or do you just kind of scrap it and say, fresh start, let's go somewhere, let's start this thing all over again? Where are you at with it?
I would not want anything to deal with trying to tell an organization how to run themselves, because then you're LeBron James.
Okay.
So for Tavares. But honestly, though, like, if I'm Tavares, I'm packing my shit and I'm gone. He's committed his time to that organization. The Islanders are not winning a cup anytime soon. I'm packing my shit. I'm maybe taking a pay cut, and I'm winning a Stanley Cup. Tavares went Ovechkin and Tavares for me for NHL players that deserve to win a cup.
Absolutely.
I emotionally loved watching Ovechkin raise that cup, and I'll probably have the same feeling once Tavares can do it. So if I'm Tavares, thanks for the memories, I'm out of here, and I'm hoping to go to Toronto.
Toronto, okay, so Toronto would be the team for you. Yeah, I'm with you on the UGG there, Russ. Russ, where are you with this? Because I see what Jay's saying about you are LeBron, but in my opinion, there is a way of saying it where you're not LeBron. It's me going, I understand what I am in this league. I'm not blind to the success, but I understand I can't do it by myself. This is what I think we need to do. It's a new coach. He understands dealing with a superstar. He's had a lot of success dealing with Ovechkin, not dealing with, but, you know, working with Ovechkin over the last, you know, X amount of years. Do you do that, or are you the same thing? You know, the U-Haul's already packed up. You just got to tell me what direction to point it in.
So I ultimately think he's going to stay with the Islanders. I think they've appeased him enough, but bringing in the Stanley Cup winning coach, by bringing in Lou, you know, a reputable GM, but if he will, I don't think that's his quickest path to the cup either, though. It might be the most rewarding one, kind of like Jay was saying with Ovi, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was his team. It took him 13 years to do it, but he did it, and I mean, we're going to feel the after effects of that and the hangover for probably a year at least, the poor guy's head.
Yeah.
But if I'm him, I'm taking a very long look at San Jose. I ran all the numbers there on what cap space everyone has left, how many players they have left under contract, and what they could feasibly do with that cap space if they brought in Tavares, assuming about a $12 million contract, which is what Arthur Staple from The Athletic is saying, right? So the Sharks have 19 guys on a contract right now. They have $18.8 million in cap space. So they can comfortably fit him under that, giving him $12 million. So all the money he wants. And they still would have $6, $7 million to go fix something else, to go re-sign Joe Thornton if they want to, right? To go bring back some of the young talent.
Mm-hmm.
And help bridge the gap into that next tier, really, when Pavelski and Thornton and Burns start to age out, right? But they have a win-now thing. None of these other teams, aside from the Lightning, can say that they... I mean, there's the Bruins, too, but let's be honest, the Bruins can't fit them under there. They have exactly $12 million in cap space left and a bunch of spots to fill out and guys to re-sign. They can't fit them in there feasibly. But the Sharks are the best opportunity to win right now. They can give them all the money. Yeah, the Maple Leafs could give them a little more money, but Matthews, Marner, and Kasperi Kapanen are all due for contracts next year.
Yeah.
So he's going to start taking talent away from that team if he stays there more than a year. So does he go home for 1 year to face all that pressure to go, God, I better win now, or I'm going to be vilified in my own hometown and then leave?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem ideal. Whereas he can go to the Sharks, he can, for being in New York, he's been kind of living low-key. He can continue to do that in San Jose, right? And the weather's a little nicer, and the air's a little cleaner.
Yeah.
So if I'm Tavares, I'm looking at San Jose, and if I don't like what San Jose's got, I'm staying where my shit is, and I'm staying at home.
Okay. I like San Jose. Justin, don't get mad at me.
Oh,
I mentioned
God.
San Jose. Yeah, I like San. I knew that was coming too. I like San Jose. I they have a lot of pieces that favor him. You mentioned the team I was gonna pick, and I agree.
Mm-hmm.
They can't financially afford to get him in there, but Boston to me makes the most sense because there's something
disgusting too.
Whatever. There's something he can do in Boston that he hasn't been able to do anywhere else. He has no responsibility to be a leader on that team. Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron, that's their team. Even if Tavares signs, that's their team. They've won a cup there. They've done what they need to do to, you know, have their roles there. He has the ability to come in there, and they can literally look at you, hey, guess what? All you got to do is score goals. We don't need you to anything else. We don't care if every intermission you sit there quietly with your eyes closed. Just go score goals. And I think that'll take a lot of pressure off of him. He's going to be the best player on the team, but he doesn't have to be a leader if he doesn't want to. He can just go out there, do what he does best, and he's got a great supporting cast. They can't afford him. That's the upsetting part about it. I think they would have to get rid of a few pieces to afford it, and that hurts him. The team I like, I do like San Jose, but the team I like is actually the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's a team that, if they get them, they're right at the top. I don't ever want to see Babcock win another title. I don't want to see Babcock win another game. But
what are you, Mike Commodore?
But I am. My afro is very easy to hide. But I have to agree with Justin. Tavares is top three on my list of guys I want to see win a cup. Ovi was always that guy for me. You can ask Aaron. Driving down to Oklahoma when they were playing Tampa, I listened to every second of every one of those games, it's just nonstop. Was just listening, because I wanted Ovi to get that cup. So, I do sadly think that going to Toronto gives him a chance at that. Would love to see him end up in Boston, but as we know, they can't afford to have him in there. So, plus I think him going to Boston might offset the Brad Marchand craziness a little bit. Brad Marchand doesn't have to go psychotic and like lick people.
That would be a terrifying team, though. If you're talking about Bergeron and Marchand on one line and then Tavares and Pasta on the other,
mm-hmm.
How do you stop that?
Well, but it's the same as I heard for a bit there that Tampa was in consideration. Could you imagine Stamkos and Tavares on the same, like not on the same line, but on that same team? That you wouldn't be able to stop them. There'd be goals abound.
Their starting line would be Hedman, Kucherov, Stamkos, and Tavares.
Yeah.
Like, that's
and then insert fifth player who could be literally the janitor some nights if they wanted it. It would be disgusting how great they would be. But on the flip, that's a lot of money to put into one team. That's a lot of money to put into one line, because then your other three or four lines could be very, very bad because you can't afford anyone else.
Yeah, they'd have to gut the team just to make him fit. They only have $5.3 million in cap space after the Miller extension.
Well, absolutely, and that's what I'm saying, is it literally would be, okay, here's our one line. It's like, here's our one line that's going to be really great, and then we're going to have a raffle every night for the other 15 people that get to be on our team. Because but they would still probably average, you know, two or three goals a night because it's that talented of a line. But after that, it'd be slim pickings. It'd be very, very tough to make it affordable. And like a couple guys in there would have to probably look at their contracts and go, yeah, going to have to give you guys a little bit of money back to make this work. So
one thing that I would like to see maybe even is get him on a rental basis. Get him for one, maybe 2 years. Fit him under your cap. Take a shot, like if you're the Leafs. And then turn him loose back to the league. Let him go find some other place to be dedicated. So,
but see, if I'm Tavares, I don't touch that. You've spent enough time in New York that if I'm him, I don't want a career where I spend the next, you know, however long I have, 10 years, say, being a gun for hire. I would rather find somewhere that I can get into and we can really start, you know, building the chemistry, building around each other. Because, no guy wants to be on a different team every 2 years. And not to mention, if he finds the right situation where the money's going to be there, there's enough talent that's going to be there long enough, you could really start doing something. I mean, look at, like, Shanahan came to Detroit after bouncing into a couple different teams. He really sunk in, and, I mean, they already had a lot of talent, but then they just started adding pieces. You know, you rattle off three cups in 5 years? I think that's more Tavares than what he would probably want. And I, as that kind of player, I would want that too.
Oh, right, and let's not forget, if John Tavares doesn't go back to the Islanders, he will be the most talented player to ever hit free agency in the cap era.
Yep.
We're going to say he's going to do it twice in 2 or 3 years?
That, no offense, Jay, that makes you LeBron James.
I mean, yeah, going to Tampa on a rental would be the LeBron James take my talents to South Beach thing.
It would.
They'd have three players in scrubs.
But I mean, hits free agency twice in a 3 or 4 year range. That's a LeBron thing. He goes to Miami, wins his titles, and then literally takes off again. And now he's looking at doing it again. You don't want to be a merc. You want a mercenary. You want to be a guy who locks in somewhere and just rattles off titles.
Or he's purposely doing all this so the Islanders can get better as a whole. Still saying goodbye, and then he can go do whatever the hell he wants. So he's actually making his team better by not being there.
I'm sorry. There's
not
no,
buying
yeah,
that.
I say, there's no instance where John Tavares leaving the Islanders makes them better in any way. All they'd have is more money to spend on horrible talent. I'm sorry. It's just not.
They could you know, sign Peter Mrazek to a huge deal.
Yeah, don't do that.
They need a goalie on there. Over there.
The next on the free agency list is a guy who's actually already signed his contract. John Carlson resigns for 8 years, $64 million. Do you guys like this? I mean, is that, you know, that's pretty good money, let's be honest. So, I mean, are you guys okay with that? Or is it, you know, do you think they kind of overpaid to keep him there?
I'm okay with it. I mean, 8 years is a long time. $8 million is a little bit much for him, but if you're Washington, you won your cup. What else were you gonna do?
Right.
You can't let him walk. I mean, if you played the game, you did what you had to do. Free agency, you overpay, and that's what happens. So it's unfortunate. The last 2-3 years of those deals, it's gonna look like a bad contract, but it keeps the window open for another year or two, at least.
Well, and do you think part of it may be, like, we won the cup, we found the winning combination, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to keep it together as best we can. I mean, Carlson, Ovechkin, those guys have been there for forever. It's kind of one of those things of let's reward the guys that stuck with us all the way through, and let's try to keep them together, because last thing we need is winning a cup, and then all these free agents go, oh, hey, look, I can start making, like, real bank. Time to take off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a little much for him, but at the same time, again, he did just help them win a cup. He's been there since the beginning. He's kind of one of those guys where it's like, you know what, let's get him paid. Let's keep him here. Let's make sure that, you know, when this guy retires, he's retiring as a Washington Capital.
Yeah, I just don't like that. in any deal over 5 years, I get uncomfortable with it because I don't think.
Well, amen.
Like look what we did with Franz, and look what we did with Zetterberg, look what we did with Howard, and look where our cap space is at now and our financial commitments to them and where they're at in their age. Like, anything over five is insane, and I don't like that they set the bar so damn high for defensemen, because that's what everyone's going to do. It's a barometer of what the going rate is, because people act like you're shopping for a car, but you're not. You're dealing with millions and millions of dollars based on people's performance. So, like, I don't even believe that, like, a market is set, but in their world, that's how they operate. Oh, this guy got this, so I deserve this. And I need 12 years on a contract. So they just want a cup. That's probably why, Eric, you're right. But, you know, anything over 5 years, no thank you. I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, I don't usually do this because, you know, I'm not a mean person, but I'm going to call out CBS Sports real quick, because I'm going through the list of the free agent tracker. And while this is a lovely list, all the names are mentioned, Van Riemsdyk, Stastny, Neal, Mike Green. They made one little mistake in including Rick Nash on the list twice.
Ooh.
He is the ninth.
They misspell Riley Nash?
No, it's Rick Nash.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. It's a typo for that, I'm guessing.
It very well could be. I mean, I'm assuming both Nashes are on Boston. Because
yeah.
It says Rick Nash at 9 and Rick Nash at 12. It's a misspell, but at the same time, this guy must be very good that he's looking for multiple contracts.
Not to mention he's considering retirement.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, what it is Rick Nash regular season, who can still get 20 goals, yeah. And then Rick Nash playoffs, who can't get, you know, a goal.
Yeah. Who can't even tell.
I would like to take Tom Wilson playoffs. That's my favorite.
I'm sure it is. Okay. Last thing we're going to do for free agency here is I'm going to read off the top 10, and we're going to even include Rick Nash twice because he's at 9 and 12. But taking away Carlson and Tavares, the next in the top 10, I want to know your opinion on who's the guy that you see as the best available free agent in here, in your opinion. You've got James Van Riemsdyk, Paul Stastny, James Neal, Mike Green. You can automatically take him off the list. David Perrin, John Moore, Rick Nash twice, and Joe Thornton. Who's the guy that, to you, is the best available player, and where would you like to see them land?
Ooh.
Lots of thinking. I'll
Lots
of thinking. That's fair. I mean, it really is fair. I'll go first.
Yeah.
Mainly because, and this is more of a personal choice than anything else, I like Paul Stastny. I'm a fan of him. I really think it'd be great for him to stay in Winnipeg. Help them, you know, keep building. They made it deep into the playoffs. I like it. If not, come here. Just come here. Add more talent to our team, please. We'll get rid of anyone you ask us to get rid of. Just come here. But no, I like Paul Stastny, and I think he should stay. If that's an available choice to him, because I'd like to see Winnipeg be more successful and keep pushing. I like these newer teams, you know, dominating or winning against these older teams that think they should automatically get W's because they've been in the league longer. That's just my opinion.
I can respect that. I mean, I think he was obviously a rental for Winnipeg, and mm-hmm. things weren't, like, the best for him with St. Louis, but I think once you get tagged with that rental status, he might, you know, who knows where the hell he goes on the cheap.
Yeah, I agree.
But for mine, I've got David Perron. He is low-key good talent who is good on your second or third line, and you could probably get him on the cheap as well. I would love to see the Wings grab him and just bump anybody out on any line and plug him in, but I think he's good. He was surrounded by young, quick talent, and he benefited from that. So I'd grab him. The one person that was not mentioned in the top 10 who I really want the Red Wings to get is Anthony Dunclair. He's a big boy, and he's physical, and I would love for him to be wearing the winged wheel, but it'll be interesting to see where he goes because he brings that physicality that most teams need these days.
Okay, sounds good.
So I'm gonna start off by saying I don't want the Wings to grab any of these guys.
Really? Not a single one of the
No.
Excluding Green, because no one wants Green. But everyone else on that list, there's not a single one of those guys that you would like to see them put on this roster.
No.
Okay.
No. I don't want – I want a backup goalie because we don't have one, and I don't think Coro can do it. I think we've even heard reports that he's told the Wings he's moving on. So a backup goalie, and rumors are we're bringing in Bernier. So I'm okay with that. Outside of that, no. Re-sign your free agents. Re-sign Larkin, Manta, Athanasiou. Let Mike Green walk. Get younger. Pull up Phil Hironic. Pull up Chalowski or whatever other D is ready. Hickets maybe. Play him full time. We already have 5 D under contract, so you only get to pull up 2 more. We only get, I think if we re-sign Larkin, Manta, and Athanasiou, we have 13 forwards then, so we don't have a ton of room to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
No, get younger, get cheaper, get another year off of these bad contracts before we wade back into free agency where you overpay for everybody. So, no, I would like Ken Holland to have a very quiet day, unless he wants to trade Gus Nyquist. Then call me. We can get something there. But to jump back,
the goose loose, basically.
Yeah, but to jump back to your question about the best one remaining, I'm actually going to take Jumbo Joe. Mm. Unrestricted, I think if anyone is going to be the runner-up prize in the John Tavares sweepstakes, it's going to be him. If Toronto ends up missing out, hey, Jumbo can go team back up with his partner Pat Marleau.
Okay.
For a one-year deal, and then he can come off the books the next year, and they can give all the extensions to those big, talented guys that they need to. I think it's a great fit there. He's an old-school guy, the Babcock alike. And geez, I like him better than a lot of these other guys that are left on there.
Can we stop talking about San Jose?
See, that's why.
Thornton, I'm talking about him leaving San Jose.
Thornton was, like, the other guy. He was the next guy on, like, you know, that caught my eye. And that was my first thing was, if I mention Joe Thornton, we're going to get that big sigh out of Justin. Because I don't know what they did to you, Jay, but you really don't like them.
Where did they touch you?
Show me on me where they touched you.
Their arena is called the Fish Tank. How do you take a team seriously? Oh, hey, we're going to go play at the Fish Tank.
They're the Sharks. It's okay.
They're a joke. They get bounced in the first round all the time. I cannot take that club seriously.
They just made it to the second round.
I say, they made it a little further in the playoffs, and weren't they like? I could be mistaken here. Didn't they go a little further than that a couple of years ago? Like they?
Yes.
They don't get bounced as often as you like to pretend.
No, back in the Todd McClellan days, they were getting bounced in the first round all the time. I'll give them credit now because insert Evander Kane, but
I don't like that.
Yeah.
They're the Sharks. They don't like even register in my head as a hockey team. I'm good.
So what you're saying is moving a franchise to Halifax and calling them like the Halifax Halibut is not going to go well for you.
No, let's get out of the ocean. I'm good.
Fair enough.
I do like that alliteration though. That was nice.
Smooth.
Fair enough. Staying with free agency but going to a completely different sport. We're not talking about this year's free agency because training camp's about to start here soon. So let's just reach even further. Let's talk about next year's free agency for the NFL because there's quite a few guys that are coming to free agency, and a few of them have a chance to really make some noise. We've all gone through this article and we've discussed it a little bit, but I want to know, in your opinion, who is the guy on this list that 100% needs to have a contract by the end of this coming season so they don't hit the free agent market? Russ, who's for you is the NFL guy that needs to be put under contract before free agency hits next year?
Matt Ryan. Plain and simple, Matt Ryan. Quarterbacks are priority 1, 2, and 3 in the NFL. And Atlanta has been junk for their entire history outside of having Mike Vick before he decided to be an absolute horrible person.
Yep.
And Matt Ryan, right? If they let him go, I don't care what else they're building on offense. I don't care as much that they have Julio Jones, who I think is a top 5 receiver.
Yeah.
He stirs the drink in Atlanta. If they lose him, they're jumping back a decade in progress.
Okay. That was going to be one of my, you know, one of my choices too. My only thing is, I don't see him leaving. Atlanta.
I'd be surprised.
I mean, yes, everybody wants to test the waters, and he's, you know, with contracts being what they are, he's going to get paid. But my other thing is, you were just in the Super Bowl a year or two ago. You don't seem to be stepping backwards. You're adding pieces. You're making moves. Every other team that would have the ability to sign him would be a step back. You're starting from, you know, level one again, whereas right now you're on like level five or six. So I he is someone that needs to be put under contract. But to me, I think he's someone that Atlanta doesn't really have to be as worried about losing, barring the Patriots saying, "Oh, Tom Brady's not going to play anymore," and Matt Ryan going, "Oh, okay, I'll go." It's one of those things that I think he's going to be locked in.
God, that would make me so mad.
Well, it would be bad, but you know what I'm saying. There's not all the teams that need a quarterback. They need a quarterback because they need a lot of other things, and a quarterback's just the most glaringly obvious thing they need. So that would be my opinion. Justin, who for you is the guy that needs to get a deal? Like, a team needs to get under contract before the free agency kicks off.
I think it's got to be Le'Veon Bell. Mainly because the Steelers, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is only getting older. And if they're going to be dependent on the run game, they're going to need Bell there. And Bell needs Bell to get signed because the shelf life of running backs, as everyone knows, are very limited. And this man is already putting wear and tear in his body. And he needs to make his money because it's only going to be downhill after the next year or two for him, probably, unless he's, you know, a freak of nature that can live on. But in terms of, like, who needs something to get done, it's got to be Pittsburgh. If they want to be competitive, I'd imagine they've got, I don't know, is Ben even on a contract, or does he have a year or two left in it?
I think Ben's got, like, another, like, year or two, I do believe. I can double check on that. But Ben Roethlisberger is going to finish his career in Pittsburgh, and I think he's getting close to winding it down. So my guess would be he'll probably retire when his next contract expires.
Yeah, I don't know why Bell keeps, like, you know, threatening to hold out. And, I mean, just pay the man his money. He's damn good. Get him locked up for a couple of years. You know, I don't know how all that shit even actually works out. But the fact that Le'Veon Bell is, like, a name that gets floated around, it's like, just pay the dude an extension, rework a contract, whatever. He's your back, and you won't have to worry about that part of the field. So I pick Bell. And he went to Michigan State, so, you know, slip that in there.
Yeah,
there it is.
You got a lot of love for Michigan State players, my friend.
Hell yeah, we do things right over there.
I'm trying to find it, and I'm double checking on it, but unless I'm mistaken, he has two more years left in his deal. Now the thing though is, for me, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers do need to get him signed up, but I'm thinking from his, you know, the past couple seasons with him and all that, I'm kind of thinking that Le'Veon Bell needs Pittsburgh to sign him just as much as they need to sign him, because Le'Veon Bell the last couple years has proven he's a little bit of a diva and he's a little bit of a headache. And while you're getting the talent, a lot of teams tend to shy away from signing you when they know you're not going to be cooperative. I mean, if you look at Terrell Owens, after he left Philadelphia and went to Dallas, there wasn't a huge market for him. He pogo-sticked around a lot because not a lot of teams wanted to deal with his headache. Not a lot of contenders wanted to deal with his headache. That's why the last couple of years he played on bottom-of-the-barrel teams, because no one wanted to deal with him, because while the talent was there, the locker room got destroyed because he couldn't get along with anyone. And I fear that the way, like Le'Veon Bell saying he's going to hold out of training camp, I fear that it's going to hurt him come signing day with another team, because they're not going to want to pay him as much, knowing that he's going to be a little bit of a pain in the butt for them off the field.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the diva aspect, he's not, I mean, he's probably a team player, but he's not an organizational player. He wants to get paid. And I really can't knock a dude for doing that. Like, he's a diva, but that's his job. He's got to pimp himself out. He's got to make money. And we're not talking about, you know, a normal person's wage. We're talking millions upon millions of dollars. So I get the diva part. Trust me, Odell's on that list too, and I can't stand that man. But, you know, he's got to make his own. His career is accelerated in terms of his health, so he's making all his money as quickly as he can. And, like, just like Sue, when Sue left, he left for more money. I can't knock a guy for that. If I'm in the position, I'm doing the same exact thing. Maybe not as a diva, but you know, I'm making mine.
Yeah, absolutely. Ben Roethlisberger is a free unrestricted free agent in 2020. Signed a 4-year deal in 16. So
okay.
You got some wiggle room there. Le'Veon Bell is, both you guys have picked guys that are necessary. To me, this one, like I read through this whole thing and there was just one name. I kept going back to, yo, he's more important. He's more important. He's more important. There's no one on this list more important, in my opinion, than Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald is the guy you have to get signed up. The Rams are coming off a hot season, and a lot of that is because they have the best defensive tackle in the league. The guy is a freak of nature. And you lose him, a tailspin's coming quick, because we all know what happens when we're living proof of what happens when a team has a somewhat successful offense and zero defense. And to me, Aaron Donald, you got to get this guy locked up. It's going to cost you an arm, a leg, and your firstborn child, but you need to have him on your team come 2019, because if you don't, he's going to go to the highest bidder, and it's going to really kill your team. That's my opinion. Aaron Donald has to be the guy you lock up.
You know, I keep a little picture of Eric Ebron near me at all times, just so that whenever someone mentions Aaron Donald, I can just glare at that picture. We took him instead.
It's, but I mean, I don't hear a lot of objection here. Something tells me you guys probably agree with me that Aaron Donald's a gotta keep kind of person.
He's got more long term impact, of course.
Okay, I like it. The only other name I want to mention on this list, because we were talking about it right before the show started, Adam Vinatieri is going to be 46 this year, and he's going to be a free agent. Anyone's going to speculate on where he's going. Something tells me if he doesn't retire, he's just going to stay in Indy. But in reality, the guy's still a pretty good kicker. How much longer could we see Adam Vinatieri kicking field goals in the National Football League?
Who knows?
Well, his last name starts with a V. That's Roman numeral 5. Maybe 50? Yeah, at least 50.
See, I'm afraid, though, the longer he plays, I feel like that's going to push Brady to play longer because he's got to stay with Vinatieri. Vinatieri's still doing it, so I can still do it.
Can we stay focused? We're talking about Vinatieri, not Princess Brady.
And we can go back to talking about the Sharks if you want.
No.
Tom Brady should sign with the San Jose Sharks. You know, Tom Brady's from California. He could maybe invest in controlling stake in him once he retires. Could you imagine that? Tom Brady owning the San Jose Sharks? You'd love that, Jay.
I think I'm losing my phone battery.
All right, well, we're going to stay on football here. Just a quick, you know, overview, because training camp starts here in a couple weeks. Obviously, Russ and I are excited for this season because we actually think there could be success. Justin's his usual self of believing that they're going to collapse and burn. Is there any position battle or any one player in training camp that you want to see, you know, how they perform? You want to see what they can contribute? Because for me, it's weird to say because it's not even a starting role. But as a former quarterback, for me, it's the backup quarterback position, because I love the fact that there's some actual competition this year. And in my opinion, Rudock's going to win out, but I am interested to see if Castle can come in and really give him a push for his money. The guy's been in the NFL. He's been a starter. He's had some proven success. For Russ, for you, is there one player or position battle you're excited to kind of, you know, get your eyes on?
Yeah, there's actually three, and you touched on the one, but just to quickly run through the others, Nevin Lawson and Tease Tabor, to see which one of them can grab a starter's role. That's going to help define this defense. Second one is the running back carousel, just to see how that shakes out. And hopefully Kerryon Johnson grabs the lion's share of the workload there.
Yeah.
But it'd be really interesting to see if like Amir Abdullah even has a role anymore. And then the third one is what you touched on, but I think it is the single most important position battle that we have is between Castle and Rudolph for one very simple reason.
Okay.
Since Tom Brady got hurt in 2008 and Matt Castle had to take over for him, Matt Castle has started a game every single season for the last 10 years. hasn't been a starter. Most of those years, he doesn't start as a starter. But the one in front of him gets hurt or suspended every single year. I want Matt Cassel off of this team now. Get away from Matt Stafford.
Can we at least practice squad him?
Yeah, you get him out of here. Don't you put that evil on us.
Yeah, no, he can leave right the fuck now. Yeah.
And I will agree with you, though, Russ. The running back battle to me is second, absolutely second, partly for the fact that, you know, working with the Lions in some extent and knowing some people I've had conversations, it sounds like Amir is just kind of slowly being phased out of everything to the point where eventually he's going to show up and his stuff's going to be sitting next to a U-Haul. They're going, hey, go wherever you want. It's not going to hurt our feelings. So I would be interested to see if he has any contribution to that team this year. I mean, between Kerryon and Blunt, I don't see a lot of snaps going his way. And barring him deciding to be okay with being a special teamer, we could really be honestly seeing the end of Amir here in Detroit. Jay, what for you is the standout player or battle that you want to see?
Well, I agree first and foremost on Amir Abdullah. My brain is still stuck in that San Diego game where he got his first touchdown. It was like a 15-yard run up the middle. He took a hard cut. He got in. His involvement on the team, he either becomes a team player or he's off the team, because I don't think it's his job to win at all at the starting position. But because that one was already said, I'm also fixed on Kenny Golladay. They had him built to be, you know, the number two, or the number three, possibly the number two wideout on the team last year. And maybe it's because the media overhyped him, but all we saw in training camp was, you know, this dude's going to be, you know, legit. Like, he's going to be a part of the team. He was a dud. He had a couple good games, and then he went cold. I think he didn't even start a couple games. But I'm interested to see if he's actually going to pan out to what so many people billed him to be last year.
Okay. This kind of works out perfectly, because it was a question I wanted to ask you guys, and you kind of led me right into it. Jay, I'll let you answer it first, but I want to hear Russ's opinion too. Salt or no salt, Golladay will pass Marvin and become the number two receiver on this team next year.
Salt. No, I don't have faith in that. I really don't. Okay. I hope I'm wrong, because I hope we haven't. Those are good problems to have.
Well, exactly. That you being wrong there just means that someone stepped up to an even higher level than we expected him on. But
yeah.
Okay. Russ?
No. I mean, yeah, to steal a line from Jay's, you know, from his briefcase. No. Marvin's a good receiver.
Okay.
Golden Tate's a good receiver. Kenny Golladay, we hope, is an NFL receiver.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, he's 6'4", so he's got a lot of size to him. But he's going to have to eat as the number three. I don't see him passing either of them up anytime soon.
Now, I'm in agreement with you guys that it's a good problem to have, and that we know what we're getting with Golden and with Marvin. But I would like to point out, Marvin had a great year last year. The year prior to that, people were ready to run this guy out of town. He couldn't do anything for us successfully. So to me, it's an open position right now to whoever performs better, because yeah, you had a good year, but unless you can produce that every single year, and I don't think with what happened this past year, defenses are going to play Marvin over the ball every time. He's not going to get these, you know, 80-yard, you know, Hail Mary touchdowns like he did on a regular basis. Golden is locked. Golden's the number one receiver on this team until he doesn't want to be it anymore. So for me, it's an open position, and I would love to see Kenny take it, because it just means that he stepped up and played at the level we're expecting out of him. So that's just me on that one.
Hey, hopefully he's productive.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, continuing on, it's time for the only consistent part of our show. We do this every week now, and we're having fun with it. And definitely listen next week, because brainstorming with Russ, we've got a good idea for one. We're going to work on it a little more, so stay tuned and listen next week, and I think you're going to like the best of, and you're going to hear a lot of arguing on next week's best of, that's for sure.
Nice.
But this week's best of is one that I've been wanting to do for a little while. things have slowed down a little bit with sports, so it's kind of, we're able to discuss it. And that's the stadiums or venues that you have on your bucket list that you just absolutely would love to attend a game at, even if it's not your hometown team playing in that game. Just to go to that stadium and see a game there. So we rotate every week. This week we're going to let Russ lead off.
All right. Well, I didn't list every stadium that's out there. I trimmed it down a little bit.
I have every stadium there is.
I'll steal 4 to 5 of yours.
Okay. Hopefully. Well, I will want to say this real quick, Russ. My theory is that you and I potentially have two, if not three, that match up that are not Michigan stadiums.
Right. Yeah. I didn't count stadiums I'd been to.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. Otherwise, there would have been a few different ones. But mm-hmm. When I went through my list, I thought, yeah, there's probably two that I'm going to double up with Eric on. But jumping into it, one that I thought probably most of us would have on there is Fenway,
absolutely.
With the Green Monster, with the Triangle out in center, with the short porch out in right field. I mean, it's a unique, very historic stadium. I mean, it's the oldest one that's active in North American pro sports.
Yep.
Period, across all sports. I would love to go there one day. I've been towards the area, but just didn't make it there.
Mm-hmm.
But then I jumped to the other side of the country for my next couple here. The next one is just the L.A. Coliseum. I mean, you want to talk about a historic venue. It's hosted the Olympics twice. Can we really talk about that for another arena? I mean, it's the history with it, the unique structure, you know, that's on the one end zone with the white pillars. And you come in there, and it just feels like old-time football. And I would absolutely love that. When I'm looking for a stadium, I'm thinking for history, and I'm thinking for uniqueness, right? That one kind of fits the bill for both. So does Fenway. The next one is more just uniqueness. It's AT&T Park. You know, go see the Giants play, with the caveat that I want to go do it in a canoe in the San Francisco Bay.
Absolutely. Nice. I was just about to say, if you don't mention the canoe, then you're probably going to stop talking.
I mean, that would be amazing to me, because that is a unique stadium experience that you really can't get many other places, if any other place, right? So, if I get a home run ball, all the same. If Tim Lincecum happens to come back and pitch, there's probably a good chance I'm getting a home run ball.
Absolutely.
But while I'm in the area, just another one I wanted to touch on quick is Petco, where the Padres play. Just for the simple fact that the left field foul pole is an old department store building. There's literally no pole. They just painted the corner of the building when they built the stadium. And that is so unique and hilarious. And you can go stand in the department store. They have the balcony set up. You can stand on the rooftop. I mean, that'd be a pretty cool thing to kick back with a beer and watch the Padres lose, right?
No, not to mention you going there would double their attendance. So that would be great.
Yeah, me and the 15 other people. I mean, if they do the whole giveaway of free pizza thing, I got a pretty good shot.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Right.
So,
that's great odds.
Who doesn't like free food? And then my last one is a recent one, and it actually has nothing to do with history because they don't have any history outside of 1 year. But that's T-Mobile Arena. Go watch the Vegas Golden Knights play, because I need to get me to one of those pregame shows. I mean, it's Cirque du Soleil on ice. It's Game of Thrones meet the Alex Ovechkin, which, hey, he could be a double on Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to go see that just for the spectacle of it. And then, you know, maybe watch a hockey game afterwards.
Yeah, if there's time.
Yeah, if there's time. But that's my big list. I tried to keep it a little short because, hey, it's a lot of travel, and I'm hoping to actually achieve this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm disappointed. We only had one.
Wow.
We only
All
had
right.
one that matched up. So
I had none that matched up.
You and I had Fenway.
Wow.
Yeah. You and I had Fenway.
Yeah, I've been to Fenway, so I didn't make my list.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay.
All right. Well, Justin, let's hear your list.
Well,
because we know
be
how creative Justin gets when he comes up with these lists.
Oh yeah, I can't wait for like the toilet bowl.
All right. What do you got first, Jay?
I've got an issue because Russ's sounds so logical. They sound correct. Like he did what he was asked to do, and I'm going to sound like a complete buffoon here.
Yeah, that's okay.
All right. Well,
First one I have is Bell Place, because I want to see the Winnipeg Jets play in an absolute whiteout in their arena.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet.
And the fact that, like, I've unfortunately been to the Big House, being around everyone wearing the same color, like, that's amazing, and I don't get that in Detroit. You play the Leafs, and our building's blue more than it's red. So that made my list. The other one would be Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, because I would love to be in the pool watching football, because that just sounds amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yep.
Three more to rattle off here. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, only to look at the roof. I don't care if it's their football team or if it's their soccer team. I want to watch that roof open and close for hours, because that's just satisfying as shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just sneak in after hours. Don't even have to buy a ticket.
No, it's right? Quick. It's
just watch it.
Just a beer in my hand, look up and watch that little multifaceted, you know, shape just open and close. It's just that makes me happy.
Justin, do you even like sports? Like, everything you're talking about has nothing to do. Anyway,
I know. That's why I said I'm like an idiot, because none of this shit has to do with the sport. It has to do with me, and that's all.
That's very okay. So, what else you got?
So then, it only gets worse from here. I have the Beijing National Aquatic Center.
Wow.
Okay.
Don't you dare judge it. Go Google it. It's a giant flipping monitor, and it's in the shape of a box. The whole thing looks like a projection screen. You have to Google it. It's bananas what this thing looks like.
Okay.
That's the Beijing National Aquatic Center. For those who don't know what that is, go
gotcha.
Google it.
Okay.
Oh, wow. That is I just got Beijing, and it was the second thing that popped up. Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Look at that thing, dude.
Yes. Anyone listening, go Google this. This is crazy.
Yeah. All right. The last one. Might be difficult to get there, but I would still figure out a way to do it. I would love to be in the arena in which Dodgeball, the movie, was played in.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how that was going to go, but the fact that you could go to an actual stadium that's hosting a dodgeball tournament and people take it very seriously, and the Ocho produces it, sign me up. I'll be there all day.
I like it. I like it. Very nice.
And you are creative.
Yeah.
I don't play by the rules, my friend.
Justin, you're going to have to start going last just for the awe and, like, the amazing awe factor of what you come up with.
This is what came to my head, dude. I'm not responsible. It's all my brain's fault.
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I like it. Okay, so for my list, I'm not as creative as Justin, so I went a little more down the middle of just... And for me, it was about the sports. I mean, there's some history there, but for me, it was about the sports. Obviously, my first one was Fenway, so there's where Russ and I level up. This one surprised me, and it may be because Russ has been there and I just didn't know, but I'm kind of surprised you didn't say Wrigley.
You know what? I've been in the area, and I mean, I grew up with Ivy... On my house. I've seen it. Bubs suck.
Nice. So, yes, I appreciate that.
For me, Wrigley was on there. The next one, staying in Chicago. The next one, Justin and I have actually been on the field of this stadium. I've just never seen a sporting event there, and that's Soldier Field. Justin and I, when we were seniors in high school, went on a marketing or an econ field trip to Chicago for the day, and we got
sir,
to walk.
Sir, get it, sir. If I may get it right, it was DECA.
I wasn't in DECA. It wasn't DECA. So.
Oh, shit. Never mind.
Sucks to suck.
Sir.
Yeah. Sir. Don't worry. I can edit that out for you, Jay. But we were actually on the field. And the reason I would like to go is for the only reason of the fact that when I played golf one day at a local golf course, I somehow got paired up playing golf with Jason Hansen, the kicker for the Lions. And he said that Soldier Field is the toughest environment he's ever had to play in. So I think it'd be interesting. Real grass, when it gets rainy and muddy, I'd be interested to see what it's like to see a game there. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Next one, for anyone that knows me, I'm a teeny tiny little bit of a Duke basketball fan. I'm actually wearing a Duke hat right now. So that's Cameron Indoor. I mean, it's a tiny little stadium. It's an insane environment. From what I've seen on TV, I think it would be amazing to go see a basketball game. And specifically, I'd love to see Duke, North Carolina there, but I don't have the bank account to even afford to park in the parking lot for that game. But that would be a great one for me. Next two are
technically not stadiums, but this is me, so we're going to go with it. TPC Sawgrass with the Island Hole, and then St. Andrews, the birthplace of golf. I would love to go there and watch a round of golf at those. I think it'd be an amazing time. Justin, you might know this one. I also put TPC Scottsdale. That's the one they do in Arizona where they have one hole that's literally grandstands all the way around. You have to go through a tunnel to get to it. And they say that you can hear the roars like 10 miles away in downtown Phoenix when people cheer. So
yeah, I'm actually jealous. I didn't think of golf. I was trying to get creative on mine. Those are some solid choices. I could have sounded a lot smarter by doing that.
So I think that would be cool. The next one, this is the one that I teased Justin with before the show. This one doesn't exist anymore. We would have to go back in time to actually go to this one. But for me, I would love to go to Olympia. I would love to go see Gordy and Ted Lindsay and all them play. I'm sure it was nothing compared to the stadiums we have today. It was probably a high school gym in comparison. But for that one, it's more the sentimental side of seeing it and being there and, you know, getting to enjoy that. I think it'd be awesome. Growing up, my uncles each had a brick from Olympia. It was like framed in their basements, and I always thought it was cool. Look at the picture, and I think it'd be awesome.
And yeah, I'd want to go there just to see a bunch of idiots wearing suits to a hockey game because no one does that anymore.
Yeah, no one does that anymore. Well, you get to see guys that literally are probably taking or smoking a cigarette while they're on the bench, but they're also professional hockey players. So
right.
I think it'd be awesome to see. And then my last one is I'm not a fan of their team. I just want to go to the stadium to see the stadium, and that's Boise State's football field.
Yes.
I would love to see Boise State's football field. Go watch a game, and you know, I it'd just be cool because as we know, fields are green, they're not blue. So to go out there and see a blue football field and all that, I think would be awesome. Jay, I did look up your Beijing thing, and that is pretty wild and pretty cool. So
yeah,
you get points for that one.
Thank you.
But I am also a little upset. Russ and I, we usually are on the same wavelength, and to only pull out one is disheartening. It hurts a little bit.
That's okay. I guess I'm going by myself to a couple of these places.
Hey, I'm not going to lie, though. When you brought up Giants and the canoe, I was like, you know what? I'll do that. Let's do that. That one I could definitely jump on board with and really probably enjoy.
Oh, that'd be a blast. I'm disappointed you picked the Blue Man Group of football fields.
Yeah, that one's more just a footballer in me wanting to see it. But
yeah,
part of me is also very upset that Justin calls himself a golfer and didn't think of a single golf course. I mean, I at least expected Augusta to be on your list, Jay, because during like Masters weekend, you and I are texting each other back and forth like crazy. So I really thought Augusta would get there.
Right, but you can see that on your TV. Let me know when they put Beijing's Aquatic Center.
You saw that when they were swimming there.
The Aquatic Center, my friend, that's never on TV. That was like 4 years ago or 8 years ago.
he's not wrong.
Oh, gosh. So as you can see, we don't agree on anything these days, but it's still fun to do. My thanks to Justin Marcus.
Anytime, my friend.
It's always a good time. Russ Ivanek, you're the best, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Hey, congrats to Willie O'Ree. Finally in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Yes, big congrats to him. Absolutely. And not Gary Bettman. Go away.
Don't you dare go away.
I did like, I sent you guys that image when the store manager makes himself Employee of the Month. That's how this feels, and I'm not liking it. Not liking it one bit. So, and as always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. We appreciate you listening. That's one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.